Put me in your Bibles, John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. We're going to start reading at the first verse, and we're still picking up on the thought that we've been using for some time about the miracles and signs that Jesus did that them people might believe. In John 20, we use as a text. We'll not read that tonight, but we're in the middle of those miracles and signs. And I told you sometime recently that wasn't all the signs and the miracles that he did, but there are three consecutive miracles and signs that he did that shows a way of salvation. We talked about the word. We talked about grace. And talked about something else. I can't think of what it was. I'm like... Perry run for president. I had a shortened out right there. Amen. What did I preach anyway, Jeff? You all know. I know we preached on the word. We preached on grace at the Capernaum, Bethesda, and we talked about faith, the one from the centurion that came down from Capernaum. And about 17 miles from Cana, he came down to see y'all. Thought I forgot. I'm checking y'all out. No, I'm kidding. I didn't forget for a minute, but it's coming to me now. And but we are saved by the Word of God. We are saved by faith, and we are saved by the grace of God. Of all those laying there at the Pool of Bethesda, Jesus went by this man. We went in some detail, tried to about that. And you can't explain the grace of God. You just experience it. And I'm glad we know that God gives us what we don't deserve, but to really explain it, why did God let you be born in America? Why did God let you live in a land where you hear the Bible preached? And why did God come by one day and the Holy Ghost convicted you? Why you? Do you deserve it any more than anybody else? No, I don't. You don't. Grace of God. And you say, preacher, you hyper Calvinist? No, sir. But God knows everything from beginning to end. He knows who is going to respond. He knows everything. And you don't have to figure it out and say, well, God chose one and left the other out. No, no. He said, whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad he let me get in on the wheels. Amen. I was one that would, and he knew that. I thank him and praise him for it. Well, and then we're going to get to three more here after a while. Not tonight now. Don't get scared. Three more that will explain the results of salvation and at least help us to understand somewhat the results of salvation. I don't think you ever fully grasped all of that either. You just make a stab at it. But I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know Jesus tonight. And I thank God for the blessings that come with that. Now, chapter 6, this is right in between those sections of three miracles, three signs. And here's this miracle that he does. And I want you to listen to this. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. There's a good illustration of God's foreknowledge. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He asked Philip what we're going to do, checking Philip out. And Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him. Let me pause there to say this. Have you noticed in Scripture when Andrew's mentioned, he's mentioned as Simon Peter's brother? Isn't it good to know that he's kind of like a second man, but God knows who he is and God takes care of him. Isn't that good? I was preaching revival in Maryland one time, and I was mentioning this about Andrew. I don't know what I preached on that night. I don't even remember. Something about Andrew and being second and always mentioned like this. And found out after service that there was a preacher there that had been, because his brother was well known, he wasn't, he'd been jealous of it. And it kind of helped him. I said, hallelujah. God knows every service you go into who's there, what they need. And so I had no idea that was there, but God did. And God did a work. And verse 9, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus saith, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen this, the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth the prophet that should come into the world. We'll stop reading there, bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. And thank you, Lord, for the singing of the songs. Lord, we are so thankful somewhere in the shadows. God, you're there for us, even in the deepest of the valleys, darkest of the places. And I thank you, Lord, in sickness and health. And Lord, when it's good and when it's not so good, and when it's struggling and when it's not struggling, you're still there. I praise your name, God. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you. Now, Father, we know you also help us and supply the need. And so here tonight we come together and look at this scripture. And I pray tonight you illuminate my mind and touch my lips and help me to preach. And I pray the power of God be upon us. And Lord, may the Holy Ghost direct us in what we say and take the word of God, open hearts and minds to receive and speak to hearts, save souls, stir our lives, challenge our lives. Help us, Lord, to want to share the bread. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I didn't mean to preach along this line when I first started this series. I felt like I'd mention it to you, and I'd already mentioned an introduction and thought we'd just bypass that and keep going with the other miracles. But the more I looked at this, God spoke to my heart and dealt with my life. And I wanted to just share just a few things with you tonight. I pray that God will help you and that it'll be something that will encourage your heart and help you. And I pray that it'll deal with us about sharing with others. And when I say sharing, I'm not talking about just sharing at Christmas time or sharing when taking offering or sharing something like that. I'm talking about sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bread. Jesus said, I am the bread come down from heaven. And he said, if you eat of me, you'll never hunger. I'm going to talk about that bread for a little bit and sharing that bread. And so here we are, and here's a picture that we have. Jesus is out there, and here comes a multitude of people following him, and they're hungry, and they have nothing to eat. And there they are, and Jesus asked Philip, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know. That's just my words for it. He just made a statement about how much a lot of money in that day. He said that wouldn't be enough to feed them, and how are we going to do it? And Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he knew who had the lunch. He knew who was there. But let me say this tonight. Somebody had to have the bread. If they didn't have the bread, couldn't share the bread. And so somebody had to have the bread. And this lad that was there had the bread. That's what it says in verse 9. There is a lad here. Somewhere along the way, he and Andrew had got together. Andrew might have walked by him, and maybe he'd been looking at the crowd and saw they were hungry, and maybe the little boy, I don't know, was a little boy, a 12-year-old boy. I don't know. I think about that today, that maybe a little bit older than what we sometimes think about him being that day, because he's out there. I don't know if his dad was with him or not, but he was out there carrying his own lunch. I know that much. I know he's in a multitude of people, and I know a mother wouldn't let a five-year-old go out like that in that day. They would watch that. So I don't know how old he was, but he was a lad. He was young. And Andrew may have noticed that he had a lunch with him or had something with him. May have just got to talking to him, kidding with him, and saying, what have you got? Or he maybe just talking and sharing together, and maybe telling him about his mother that morning, packing that lunch, and he come out to hear Jesus and all of that. I don't know how he got there or what the circumstances were that brought him there, but I do know this. He was there in the multitude. I do know this. He had the bread. And you got to have bread before you can share bread. If you don't have any bread, you can't share the bread. That's for sure. If you don't have any fish, you can't share fish. And so here this young man had some bread and had some fish, and he's going to share it. But let me say to you, did you know somebody had to fix that lunch? Somebody shared bread with him. And I got to think about that. That mother back home, that day he started to leave out, probably said, wait a minute, don't go. I'm going to pack you a lunch so you can take it with you. You get hungry out there. She knew how boys were. You take young boys, teenage boys, you can't fill most of them up. It's like pouring rocks down a gully. They just keep taking it in. Amen. And you know how that is. And I remember when I was a teenager, you couldn't feel. I'd eat a meal and ask Mom what she had to eat. I mean, hungry. I thought it was anyway. And you just eat and run it off. I guess that's what we did. And but anyway, here he is. And this lad has a lunch. Let me ask you tonight, do you have a lunch? You got any lunch that you can share with somebody else? If you met somebody and they were hungry, could you feed them tonight? Could you have some lunch you could share with them? I'm talking about that bread of life, that bread that come down from heaven. Would you have some that you could share with them and tell them about Jesus and say, I know it's real because it's real in my heart. It's real in my life. It's real to me. I know it's real. And I'll share it with you, show it in my life. It shows up, and that lunch showed up somehow in his life. I don't know how it showed up in him, the way he carried it, bag it is in, goat skin, whatever. I don't know how it was showing up, but somehow Andrew found out he had bread in his lunch, had bread with him. I say tonight, if we've got bread in our life, it'll show up somewhere in our life that we have bread, and somebody will notice it, and they'll pay attention to the fact that we have bread. And somebody's hungry will notice that, and they will desire what you've got. And you say, preacher, people around me lost. They make fun of me. They laugh at me. They do all the. I know how it is. I used to work a public job. I understand that. But I also found out when they got down in real trouble, I was the one they came to. They didn't run to the one that cursed all the time, the one that told dirty jokes all the time. They didn't run to them. They came to somebody they thought could pray for them anyway and help them. I'm telling you tonight, thank God we can have a testimony that the bread we have in our hearts can show to others that they may get some bread, and we can tell them how to get bread, where to find it, amen? Somebody said about being saved and witnessing is one beggar telling another beggar where he can find bread. I say hallelujah. That's pretty good, isn't it? And I believe we can tell others how to find that bread. And that family shared. And so here the little boy. By the way, I want to show you something. Verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves. He didn't just give him one loaf and said, now this is all I'm going to give you. I'm going to let you have. I believe he gave him the whole lunch. I believe he gave him every bit of it. It doesn't say that. But it does say Jesus took the loaves, plural. And I know it's plural, so it had to be more than one. I believe that he just handed his lunch over. And because he had faith that it was in the hands of the master, he didn't know what to do with it. And how to, he didn't know, the little lad didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know how it was going to be done, but he trusted what Jesus could do with it. Amen. Hang on to that thought. We may have a little point to add to it after a while, but right now we're talking about sharing the bread. And I pray that God will help you understand. If you had somebody beside of you or somebody somewhere close to you or on the job or somebody that you ran into and they were really starving to death and they absolutely were starving, no fault of their own. Maybe they had been sick and could not help themselves. Maybe there's no way to do anything for themselves. You would do something to help them. I know you would. I know Gateway Baptist Church enough to know that. And we've been talking about the Gonzaleses tonight. They're trying to raise money to buy songbooks and all that stuff, trying to get some songbooks up there for the Hispanics and some Bibles. And they're trying to live on a little bit of income they got. They lost so much when they came out of Mexico. They fled Mexico because they were threatened. Their lives, their young daughter was threatened and all of that. And they came out of Mexico and they had a reason to come out. And he said, I can't just come out and do nothing. I'll try to start some Hispanic works. And said, when I get this one started, get it some leadership trained, I'll move on somewhere else and try to start. He's not settling down. He's still a missionary. He's still carrying the gospel. And I say we can share with him and help him get the gospel out. Amen. And see that. And I could not help but think about a story in 2 Kings chapter 7. When I was talking about sharing the bread, you remember the story well. And 2 Kings chapter 7, Samaria was under siege by Syria. You remember that? And they were inside the city starving to death. Elisha was telling them how that God was going to deliver them, but they didn't much believe it anyway. But he told them, and there they were, and they were starving in the city. They was eating dove's dung and donkey's heads and even killing their own children. And it was such a plight inside the city that it was terrible. And starvation was going on, and enemies out here, and they had no hope to get out. They couldn't get anybody in to help them, and there they were. And there's four leprous men outside the city wall, and they'd wait for scraps to be thrown over, and when the scraps came over, they'd eat them. But after a while, the scraps ran out because they was eating the scraps in the city. And after a while, the scraps ran out in the city. They didn't even have any scraps or scraps to throw out. And four leprous men out there, and here's what they said. If we go in the city, we die, because they're dying. If we stay here, we're going to die. We'll fall into the enemy's hands, and perhaps, maybe, it'll keep us alive. But if they kill us, we just but die. We're going to die anyway. And so, a lot of preaching in that. Can't go on all that right now. It's not my purpose. But they fled out to the enemy. When they got there, they found out the enemy wasn't there. The enemy, God had them hear a sound. And they thought they had hired people to come against them, and they fled, left their garments, left their food, left their tents, and ran and got out of there. And those four leprous men ran in a tent. I can see them now running in, grabbing some food and gobbling it down, saying, boy, food, food, food. And whatever else is in there they could get, and went and hid some. After a while, one of them said, wait a minute, we do not well. The city over there starving to death. And here we are. And we're enjoying this food. We've got plenty here, and they're starving. It's not good we do this. We need to go tell them that we found where food is. Hey, hallelujah. That's the way we are. We're sitting here in this church tonight. We've heard preaching. Y'all heard preaching Sunday. You've heard preaching for years. You've heard preachers from out of town. You've heard preachers preach the word of God. We've got missionaries sitting here. But I'm telling you, there's people out there that needs to hear. We need to see, pray for them to raise the support and get them doing what God wants them to do and get on their way. Amen. Let God do something for us in these days. Sudan's crying. Give us some missionaries, leadership, president of the country, newest country on the face of God's earth. And they're crying, the president crying. Give us missionaries that'll come in and preach truth to us and help us. And I say tonight, we ought to be brokenhearted over that. They're starving for the gospel. These people in this world would give anything if they could just hold a Bible. I've heard, and you've heard stories about missionaries taking Bibles, and people would hug them and kiss them, and maybe just a part of a Bible. They'd take a Bible and divide it, so some of them could have part of it, some of them have part, other part, and then they'd switch around, and so they could read the Bible. I say, you and I are blessed. May we help somebody else. Amen. The cities are starving to death, and we need to help them out there because they didn't know the enemy had fled. Well, let me get to the second thing I want to say here. Someone must be willing to hear and to obey. Now, you can cast your pearls before swine, and they'll trample it under their feet. They, some people have had the gospel until God said that's enough. And we need to go folk and tell folk about Jesus. Amen. And I've been places and I realize, and I'm not saying first time somebody runs you off from the home that you ought to quit trying to witness to. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the first time somebody at home tells you to leave them alone. I'm not saying you ought to quit. I'm not saying that. Hey, some here tonight could testify of years of praying and that person got saved, got right with God and got in. Amen. But I am saying this, these men here, now I never had thought about this until I was working on this scripture and just trying to put together a little bit here. Notice, if you will, please, in verse number, let me see, verse 10. Look at verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. That wasn't counting women and children. That's just the men. And here there were about 5,000 of them. And said, make them sit down. Now here's 12 disciples and Jesus. He tells the 12 disciples, make 5,000 men sit down. Now do you think he used force? I don't believe 12 men could whip 5,000 men unless God knocked them in the head. But when he said, make them sit down, it wasn't a forceful sit down. It was, go ahead and line them up, get them in order. Get them in order so we can do what we're going to do. And so you and I need to, I looked at that and thought, get them in order. Get them in order so we can take and feed them bread. And I believe that's finding them, getting them, finding where they are, getting them to come to the house of God if we can. We may not always get them to come to the house of God, but we still give them the gospel. But get them to come to the house of God and get them in order sitting on the pew and then give them bread. Give them bread. And I believe God to honor that, don't you? Amen. And so here these men sat down in order. God's a God of order, by the way. And he does everything in order. Everything's right. When he does it right. I say hallelujah for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells them to get the men sitting down. Now, can you imagine how the disciples felt when Jesus said, make these men, get them to sit down, however word you want to use. He should use the word make here in our Bible. And I believe and that was the way they understood what he meant. And they got them to sit down and got them in order. And can you imagine those 12 disciples wondering now, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Here we've got all 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. What is he going to do with this crowd? He's just asking about how we're going to feed them. And nobody's going to buy any bread. And he's got the only bread there is from the lad. And so what's he going to do? And there they are. But they did what Jesus said to do. Let me tell you tonight, if we'll do what Jesus told us to do, we'll find somebody to give some bread to and can help them. Now, let me give you the third thing. I'm getting ready to close here in a few minutes. I'm preaching shorter than I used to. One reason is I can't take it no more. I'm getting more long-winded. Don't you get too excited. I want you to look in verse 11. First part of Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and disciples to them that had sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. I want to point out just two or three things here. He took the bread and he blessed it. He said he gave thanks, and then he gave it to the disciples. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who's singing. I don't care who's taking the offering or who's teaching a Sunday school class. If Jesus doesn't bless it, it's not going to be any good anyway. If there's not a touch of God somehow on it, and I realize some services it seems like it's more of a touch than it is others. Hey, sometimes God's doing a work in hearts that we know nothing about. I've went out of a service sometimes and felt like a miserable failure, and somebody a day or two later tell me how much that message helped them and what it did to them. So I've learned that you can't pay much attention to what you think you feel, but it's what God does in hearts and lives. But I do know this. I do know I can't stand here by myself. And I do know that God must give the touch, and God's got to help us and move us on the way. Amen? And so tonight, Jesus gave thanks, and then when he gave thanks, that bread, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. He didn't He didn't say, let this bread appear in their laps. He could have. He created the world. He could have created fish and bread and said, let it appear in every man's lap, every lady's lap, every child's lap. Let everything they need to eat be right there. And it could have been done that way. God didn't choose it to do it that way. God didn't choose to send angels from heaven to preach the gospel. God didn't choose angels to go out and witness and try to get your family saved. God chose us to do that. And God chose those 12 to take that bread and to share it with the multitude. They didn't have any bread except what came from Jesus. And it was blessed of Jesus. And they took the bread and said, now here's yours. And here's yours, and passed it out. And they all ate. Second, I want you to notice this here. As they ate and said, they were all filled. They were filled. It was sufficient. It wasn't something lacking. 2,500 of them didn't get fed and others got a little bit. 5,000 of them got fed. They all got fed. They all got filled. Jesus is sufficient for the crowd, and he's sufficient for whatever and whoever it is we're sharing the gospel with in a country, in a city, in a town, in a church, in a house. God is sufficient for the hour, and he's sufficient for it. And so he saw they were filled. Then said to gather the fragments. He told them, don't waste anything. Gather it up. And so they gathered it up and said they had 12 baskets. When they gathered every fragment up, I want you to know that probably, I don't know. There's all kinds of opinions about what these baskets were for. I know there's 12 disciples, but anyway, they had 12 baskets. And I don't know what they did with it, but I do know this. They took it up and wasn't going to waste it. Wasn't going to waste it. Don't waste the bread. Don't waste the bread. Do you know why the Dead Sea is dead? It don't have any outflow. Don't have no exit. It's water runs into it, never runs out. It's a dead sea. You hear preaching, you hear teaching, you hear the gospel, you got the bread. It'll get stale if you don't tell it to others. Share it. You need to get those fragments gathered up instead of throwing them out. Get the fragments out and tell people about Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to share Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to not stand here in this place, try to share what you laid on our hearts. I pray tonight, Lord, speak to hearts. Help all of us realize how we need to share the bread in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Won't you stand to your feet, please?